Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Power Hour. Your host, Ted Brewer, for Monday, March 30th, 2015. I was working on the news, and I've been studying the news on this stuff for the past weekend. In fact, I've been looking at that air crash in the Alps for the last week, trying to figure out what was going on with that. And I want to start off with that story, and I also want to talk a little bit about Alex Jones, because Alex Jones is talking about the martial law preparations that are occurring all over the states that have been listed as far as this little action that they're doing. And I was thinking about the martial law preparations because, you know, we've already talked about that several times on the show. And I'm going to defer to Alex on this. He did a whole thing on this on Friday of last week. And if you want to know more information of what's going on that, I recommend that you go to his website. He did an excellent job, 20 minutes on the air about this, and I simply can't do any better than he did, and there's no point in trying. We've got a mess with the United States. We've got a whole thing with federal troops now being deployed on U.S. soil, all these training exercises that are being done. The mainstream media has come in and attacked Alex and said he's being an alarmist, that this is normal. Remember this being normal. Again, there's more disinformation from the government. It's really kind of sad because there's really no telling what they're planning on doing. I know there was a huge training exercise going on with 9/11 when that happened. There was another training exercise going on with the Boston bombing when that happened. So we have these training exercises, and suddenly real things start appearing. So we just all need to pray, call our congressman up, and tell them that we don't want the federal troops being trained on U.S. soil, which is really kind of nonsense. I mean, why would they do that if they weren't planning on doing something to the United States citizens when we've subdued and taken over so many countries now that we could go in and do anything we want to any of these countries anytime we want, especially in the Middle East and parts of Afghanistan, and why we feel as though it's necessary to come into Fort Lauderdale and start rounding people up in the middle of the night on the training exercises. Doesn't make any sense to me. But let's talk first about this thing that's going on with this airline, because I want to talk about this to start with. And, you know, Mike Adams did a good job writing this up, and I'm going to cover his story on the tricyclic antidepressants that were being used and the serotonin reuptake inhibitors and who knows what else they had this pilot on and how they've been linked to suicide. Now, you guys have heard me repeatedly talk about the use of SSRIs and suicide, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, what they're called. And what's interesting about this is with these drugs they give people, you know, and they give them to the MK Ultra program. We know that's true. We've done several shows now with Russ Dizdar, and we've gone into detail on how they program these people and how they can use these sleeper folks to do whatever they want them to do as far as after they've given them the drugs and the medications. I just find it interesting. They find these drugs in this guy's apartment. Everybody shifts to this immediately. When every time you have a situation like this in which the serotonin reuptake inhibitors are involved, the media doesn't talk about it. Nobody talks about the antidepressants. And now all of a sudden we're talking about antidepressants suddenly on the mainstream news. That just kind of throws a red flag up for me because that doesn't make any sense because they always deny that. They don't ever want to have any involvement with any of this. In addition to that, now there's some saying or saying that he converted over to Islam right before he got on the airplane. All these crazy stories, and because they're trying to figure out why in the world this pilot supposedly, if this is what happened, crashed this aircraft. But there's another interesting story that I find that I think we need to take a look at, and it's with Gordon Duff on Veterans Today. And what he says, and I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but, you know, Gordon's got a lot of really deep intel, and a lot of times his stuff is dead on, and he's one of the only ones that goes into the banking cartels and their satanic influences and all the things that they do and how they're running the planet. And so that's why I wanted to kind of delve into Gordon's theory on this for a little bit. Not to say that he's right, because no one really knows what happens on this whole deal as far as this plane coming down, because the wreckage is spread over such a large area. But what I find is interesting is this. Some of the research seems to indicate that a Spanish intel team was aboard this airplane that was crashed that was specializing in cyber terrorism. And some people are believing that they may have been the target. The Spanish team was involved in the investigation of the Swiss-owned company Crypto AG, which is a highly secretive corporation which does a lot of spying around the world. We'll talk about it when we get back.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Welcome back. This is Ted Brewer, your host. Let me tell you who Crypto AG is. Crypto AG is a Swiss company. This is right out of Wikipedia. It specializes in communications and information security with headquarters in Steinhausen. The company has been long established as a manufacturer of encryption machines and a wide variety of cipher machines. The company has about 230 employees. It has offices throughout the world and does business throughout the world. The owners of Crypto AG are unknown, supposedly even to the manager of the firm, and they hold their ownership through bearer shares. I always find that odd. Crypto AG was established by Russian-born Swede Boris Hägglund. And it goes on to say that this technology company has been around for a long time. Listen to what it says. It says Crypto AG has been accused of rigging its machines in collusion with intelligence agencies such as the German Bundesnachrichtendienst, which is the BND, and the United States National Security Agency, enabling such organizations to read the encrypted traffic produced by the machines. Suspicions of this collusion were aroused in 1976 following U.S. President Ronald Reagan's announcement on national television that through the interception of diplomatic communications between Tripoli and the Libyan embassy in East Berlin, he had irrefutable evidence that Muammar Gaddafi was behind the 1986 Berlin discotheque bombing. In addition, it goes on that it talks about the stuff that happened with President Reagan that ordered the bombing of Tripoli and Benghazi. It says further evidence suggesting that the Crypto AG machines were compromised was revealed after the assassination of former Iranian Prime Minister Bakhari in 1991. This goes on to go on all of this stuff these guys have been linked to. The Iranian government then arrested Crypto's AG's top salesman, Hans Bühler, in March of 1992 in Tehran. Crypto AG rejected these accusations as pure invention. Of course, they will not disclose who owns their company, asserting in a press release in 1994 the Swiss federal prosecutors initiated wide-ranging preliminary investigation against Crypto AG, which was completed in 97. So what Gordon Duff is saying here in this Veterans Today article, and guys, I don't know if he's right or not. It just seems funny to me that suddenly these serotonin reuptake inhibitors are being linked to this airplane going down. So I just want to give you guys a couple different alternatives on this. It says intelligence regarding the unintended altitude loss of incumbent loss of life related Lufthansa flight 9525 from Barcelona to Dusseldorf is coming to light. The plane may have been downed to an end investigation of massive banking fraud tied to the CIA, Mossad, Crypto AG, Siemens, and the Vatican Bank. This is according to Gordon Duff. The event also gives us need to take a new look at the downing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988. Crypto AG had developed a hardware back in 1988, the hack that created a backdoor in all encrypted fax communication, giving their clients virtual control of the world, not the world's banking system, but almost all diplomatic correspondence as well. Nearly half a dozen investigative strands tie to Flight 103, also which led to Crypto AG projects. We are finally being told that today. Crypto AG has developed security protocols that tag and encrypt all encrypted messages with built-in hack, redirecting them to the Mossad for evaluation and valuation. The Internet has been filled with stories about Crypto AG and Siemens for years. Most are in cover and deception, pushing attention from their real tasks, manipulating the Federal Reserve System and helping the RAND Corporation rig elections. We are talking now about America, Britain, France, Germany, Israel, not Iran or Nigeria. Crypto AG is defended by a veil of lies. You can Google them. It goes on to say, I want everybody to read this article in Veterans Today on this. And because the whole thing about this is, something's not right with this whole thing, with this airplane coming down. And every time we dig a little deeper into these stories that are being done, it just seems like, you know, something's not quite right as far as what's going on. Now, let me read you the one from Natural News, because I like Mike Adams' writings, too, because he's an excellent journalist. And he also said, in the story that he wrote, he said that this is the mainstream one that's being regenerated. The German jetliner catastrophe is the first antidepressant drug-induced mass murder of the skies. He's asking if that's a question. Psychiatric drugs have been located and identified by law enforcement authorities. I thought that's very convenient. Searching the home of the murderer-suicide co-pilot. Investigators made the discovery in a search in the home of Andreas Lubetz in the western city of Dusseldorf and seized a number of medicines for the treatment of psychological illness. Remember, Prozac's not even supposed to be allowed to be sold in Germany. They don't want those serotonin reuptake inhibitors over there. They don't have a lot of those same kind of drugs. So this whole thing seems odd to me. It goes on to say the 27-year-old has been treated by several neurologists and psychiatrists. It's quoted, unidentified high-ranking investigators are saying, of course they're unidentified, an excerpt released ahead of Sunday's edition. The same story goes on to report. Then on Friday, so they said searches of his homes and that his medical documents suggest an existing illness and appropriate medical treatment. In today's global system of pharma-dominated health care, so-called appropriate medical treatments for depression consist almost entirely of mind-altering medications, which have been repeatedly linked to mass school shootings and suicide. That's an absolute fact. The police found antidepressants during a search of his apartment here on Thursday, reports the New York Times. Now, I want to know what kind of drugs they found, because so many of these SSRI drugs are banned in Germany. A Reuters story explains, remember Reuters and AP Wire are both owned by the Rothschild banking cartel, and it's part of the disinformation network that we get that's basically scanned, you know, it just completely distorts our the truth that's being told to us. Propaganda is what you want to call it. German newspaper Welt, this is part German, half English, luckily I understand it. German newspaper Welt am Sonntag, which means Sunday, told a senior investigator is saying the 27-year-old was treated by several neurologists and psychiatrists. He was 18 months on psychiatric treatment and medication, but still allowed to fly. Now, we already know, and I'm speculating now, we already know with the MKUltra program that psychiatric medicines were very often used in forming these different types of sleeper cells that are being used. And if this guy was that, I don't know. But it's all of this stuff. And I think we need to keep digging in this because there's something going on with this Andres Lubitz, and who lived in Dusseldorf, and why he ended up, if he's the one who actually did this, because the plane's in pieces. Gosh, we really don't know what happened. He apparently didn't say anything in the cockpit when he was in there. So everything's strange with this. But, you know, now they're saying that these guys that were in there, that there's a possibility that they were from Spain doing a deep investigation into the cyber encryption company and the banking fraud that's being done around the world, and we have all these bankers that are dying. So I think we need to take a look at some of this other stuff and to realize that, you know, let's not be the first people right here to say, hey, well, this is what happened or what didn't happen. But let's take a look at it. Let's look at a few more stories. We have so much news for you this morning. This is an interesting story. IRS scandal, deja vu. Hillary Clinton's email server has been wiped clean. This is an article that's submitted by Tyler Durden. If, as one claims, one is innocent using of a personal email account to send out confidential information and or to take advantage of one's own political position to abuse opponents and deleting said confidential emails against government regulations, what would one do when faced with government subpoena demand if one is the IRS lowest learner? One would claim against subsequently revealed facts that the hardware error led to a permanent loss of all demanded emails. Even, I'm sorry I laugh about this stuff, guys, but some of this stuff, you know, you can't even believe they get away with saying it. Even though by email protocol definition said emails are always stored on at least one offline server, or if one is Hillary Clinton, one would just format the entire server. Okay, this, according to Hill, is precisely what Hillary Clinton has done in the recent Clinton.com scandal, continues to grow bigger and impair ever more of the already credibility and decision-making skills of the former First Lady and Democratic presidential first hopeful. I don't think she's going to be the Democratic presidential nominee. I don't possibly think she can survive this, but they seem to be the Teflon president, and they seem to be the ones that can get away with pretty much anything they want to do. So I don't know what's going to happen with these two, but I kind of hope she doesn't run because, yeah, I remember Bill Teagle told me years ago, he said, the problem with Hillary is that nobody trusts her, that even these folks that run the world, New World Order, don't trust her, that she's so rogue she can go out and do anything she wants to do, and they simply don't want her in the position of power where she can go in and do anything she chooses to do, especially when she's had so much questionable activities in her life. Now, I don't know the Clintons. I've never met them. But Bill did appear on the platform with us, but I never got a chance to meet him. Here's another article. Russia to join the China-led development bank. Moscow. This is the release through their news agency. Russia has signed up to the Chinese-led development bank, AIIB. First deputy prime minister, Igor Shulov, said Saturday at an international forum in China, cited by Russia's news agencies. I'd like to inform you that the Russian President Vladimir Putin has taken the decision that Russia will participate in the capital of the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, Shulov said at the China's BOA Forum. The Beijing-backed program revealed in October as a multinational lender that the United States perceives as a threat to the Washington-led World Bank. It has a highly proven proved highly successful with countries that are U.S. allies, however, with Britain, Germany, France, Italy, and this week South Korea all saying they intend to join the bank. Russia has sought to align itself more closely with China in recent years, and these efforts have intensified amid a freeze in the relations with the Western powers, which have imposed harsh economic sanctions over Moscow's role in the Ukraine conflict. So, again, what we have here is different banks that are being controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel realigning their position with China. Last night I spoke to a dear friend of mine. This is the one. His name's John Tarvin. He's an attorney here in Central Florida. He was my college roommate. And he told me, he said, you know, Britain used to have the reserve currency of the world. He says, you know, the Italian lira was very, very strong with the Venetian markets. He says, Rome used to have the currency of the world. He goes, a lot of times when countries lose their reserve currency status, it's because the bankers are done with them and they've basically become impoverished. They've got to transfer it to another place so they can start the cycle all over again. But life goes on and time goes on, but things do change. So I don't know if John is right or if these folks that are saying that we're fixing to have a catastrophic loss of sovereignty in the United States are right. But it sure seems funny that the federal troops are training in Fort Lauderdale arresting people, apparently, as we've been seeing on the news. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
As the New World Order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Welcome back to the Power Hour for this Monday. Real quick, I want to tell you guys about my guest today in the second and third hour. I'm really excited about today's show. It's going to be a powerhouse show. The second hour, we have Doc Marquis on. Doc Marquis was raised in the occult, and he left the occult back in 1979, and he talked about the dangers of the occult and what they do in the occult. He now speaks at seminars, lectures, conventions, and conferences and workshops around the United States. He also trains therapists and psychologists, et cetera, as far as what's going on. He also was involved with Ted Gunderson in the exposure of the satanic cult in Los Angeles County back in the late 90s and early 90s. He's appeared as a consultant for 2020, The Oprah Winfrey Show, Geraldo Rivera, Hard Copy, Inside Edition, Unsolved Mysteries. This list goes on and on. He's been on shows on Coast to Coast Radio, The Hagman Report, a whole bunch of different radio and TV talk shows, more than 1,000 other shows throughout the world. He's an incredible guest. I talked to him at a seminar, a conference a few weeks ago. I was introduced to him by Doug Hagman. And I wanted to bring him on the show, and so we're going to be blessed to have him on today. He's going to talk about the New World Order. He's going to go into detail on how the Illuminati got started, what their goals are. Plus, I'm going to open up the second half of the show for phone calls. A lot of you guys have always wanted to ask somebody of this type of level of involvement in the dark side, you know, what are they really doing? What are they really up to? Today we're going to have a chance to ask him questions. And then James Corbett is my second guest. And I mean, I love the Corbett Report. I listen to it all the time. Corbett Report is an independent, listener-supported alternative news source based out of Japan. It provides open source intelligence. I want to ask him about this airplane crash in Germany, too. He goes into detail on 9/11, truth and false terror events, et cetera, et cetera. We all know about that. But James Corbett has been living and working in Japan since 2004. He started the Corbett Report and his website in 2007 as an outlet for critical analysis. Now he has, oh gosh, millions of listeners, millions of times as far as what he's been doing in a conspiracy of what's going on with the government. So he's going to be on also, and we're going to let him hit the latest news line. I want to ask him about this, like I said, the German flight. Plus, I'm going to open the phones up with James Corbett, too. Now, how many times you guys get an opportunity to speak to people like James Corbett? I mean, this is going to be a pretty good show today. I mean, we got a lot of stuff covering today. So I want you guys to stay tuned and stay with me on this, because these are going to be two really, really high-powered guests that I'm really looking forward to talking to and getting to know a little bit better. Okay, let's go back to the news again, because there's so much of it. I've got stacks of it here. Bill and Hillary are facing RICO racketeering charges in a case filed in Florida federal court. This is from the News with Views head people over there. This is the senior political writer, Jim Curry, who wrote this. A former Department of Justice prosecutor, now heading a public interest watchdog group, filed a RICO-related lawsuit against former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and former President Bill Clinton and their lucrative family foundation. The lawsuit filed on March the 24th before the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida alleges that the Clintons and their foundation committed criminal violations under the Racketeering, Influenced, and Corrupt Organizations Act, RICO. The attorney, Larry Klayman, reported that the RICO lawsuit against the Clintons of engaging in criminal enterprise during the last 10 years with the goal of enriching themselves personally. Klayman and his organization, Freedom Watch, alleges that the Clintons, through mail and wire fraud and various fraudulent statements, misappropriated government documents to which Klayman and Freedom Watch were lawfully entitled to receive and possess under the Freedom of Information Act. Specifically, the documents sought involved allegations that Hillary Clinton released Israeli war and cyber warfare plans and practices. Klayman's complaint accuses the Secretary Hillary Clinton of being behind the release of documents to a reporter in order to thwart Israel's secret military plans to preemptively attack Iranian nuclear sites to stop the Islamic nation's march toward producing atomic weapons. You guys got to go to News with Reviews and read this whole article. I find this fascinating. Now, you know, there have been multiple emails concerning all of this stuff and all of these different people that have been sued in federal court and all of these high government officials. Invariably gets before a federal court judge who dismisses it. So we'll see what happens with this one. But again, this all this stuff on Hillary and on Bill and on Mena, Arkansas, and the Rose Law Firm, and the folks that all died in that place, and all the drug running from the CIA and into the airport there in Mena, and all the stuff that was going on back in the 80s and 90s, and the stuff that was going on when Bill Clinton was president and governor of the state of Arkansas. It's just, gosh, guys, you know, can't we find anybody else who wants to run for president besides people like this? And why in the world does the mainstream media continue to support these kind of people? Another article, Saudi Arabia-led coalition intensifies airstrikes against the Houthis in Yemen. A Saudi Arabia-led coalition reportedly intensified its airstrikes against Houthi rebels. A Saudi Arabia led coalition intensifies airstrikes against the rebels in Yemen, Sky News Arabia reported Sunday. The coalition planes bombed the positions and the government in the West. The coalition also targeted the different government areas in the area. We'll come back and talk about Yemen in just a minute. Thanks, guys.
right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Why use dial-up when you can use broadband? Why travel with this when you can use this? And why would anyone use colloidal or ionic silver when you can use supernatural silver? Supernatural silver is state-of-the-art, and it's been clinically proven to be several hundred times more effective than those other silvers. It's powerful enough to protect you and your family from the threat of deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. But it's so safe that it can be used internally or topically, and you'll never again deal with the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics. Hundreds of scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions have all shown supernatural silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against invading pathogens. Supernatural silver is a must-have for your arsenal. Go to supernaturalsilver.com today and use the promo code SILVER2015 for 30% off. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with supernatural silver.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
You know, I distinctly remember sitting in the ready room back in the 90s, 20-some-odd years ago now, and I remember talking to President Bush and Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell and going into depth about the Middle East and Middle Eastern policies. And I remember I talked to Schwarzkopf, and I told him, I asked him one day, I said, you know, General, I said, I've got to ask you a question. I said, well, you guys were already in Kuwait, and you already had this huge offensive military force in the Middle East. Why in the world did you go in there and take out Iraq and get rid of Saddam Hussein? This is before I was awake, by the way, before I knew what was really going on over there, because I couldn't understand why they would pull out of that. And I remember he said to me, he goes, Teddy, he goes, we thought about it and we had a long discussion with it. We talked to the different military commanders, and what we didn't want to do was destabilize the whole thing further and make this thing a big mess with Iraq falling in the, like a domino dropping in the Middle East and all these different countries coming apart at the seams because they're all kind of held together by their little factions. So we decided not to do that. And then years later, I was still talking to him on the platform. He told me that he had reevaluated his position and now he thought they probably should have gone ahead and taken Saddam Hussein out. Now, let's back up again. I also spoke at length about this to General Colin Powell, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who ended up being a pretty good friend of mine. And Colin, we always were at the seminar at the same time because we spoke in the afternoons. You know, he usually followed me all the time on the seminar circuit, and so I'd be up there speaking first in front of 10, 20, 30, 40,000 people, whatever we had in attendance. And then Colin Powell would come up and speak right after me. And it was interesting because we always spent some time in the ready room because he'd always be there a few hours early because he was super punctual. Funny story. This is a funny story. This is a completely segue to break away. I'll come back to this in a second. The first time Colin Powell spoke for us, I'll never forget this. And he was, I forgot what city it was in, but the very first time he was so nervous and apparently his blood pressure had gone through the roof because he was so nervous speaking in front of such a large group personally. He ended up with this massive nosebleed and ended up having hold his nose for a period of 20-30 minutes to get his nosebleed to stop, and then finally he came back out there and finished his speech. I mean, I give the guy credit, man. He kept it going even in the middle of a nosebleed. But what was interesting with Colin, I also sat down and talked to him about what was going on in the Middle East. Excuse me, I should say General Powell, because I highly respect both these generals. I discussed this at length with General Powell. He said the same thing. They didn't want to destabilize the Middle East. That's why I found it so strange that, you know, several years later when he was with the Bush administration, he got in front of, you know, the United Nations and start talking about the uranium tubes and how we had to go in there and take Saddam Hussein out because of weapons of mass destruction and chemical warfare agents and who knows what else he had. And so it's almost as if they knew that Colin Powell had too much integrity and they had to sacrifice him on the block of public opinion and get rid of his potential abilities to go into the presidential race, because I don't think President Powell would have done the things that Barack Obama has done. And I remember one time I asked President or Colin Powell, I said, if you'll do me a favor, I said, if you'll run and you'll do all of us a favor, if you'll run for president, I will support you. I will help lead your campaign here in the state of Florida, and we'll see if we get you elected as the first black president. And I remember he said to me, he says, Ted, I've really considered that. He says, the problem is this. He goes, my wife, her name is Alma. She and I have discussed this in detail, and I'm afraid that as the first black president of the United States, that I would be assassinated. And my wife doesn't want to take the chance of that happening. But I can say to you right now, my friends, my family that are listening right now on the show, oh, dear God, how I wish that Colin Powell would have been president rather than Barack Obama. I really wish that. I think probably everybody listening would have wished that, because I really don't believe he would have allowed any of these things to happen. And I can still consider Colin Powell to be a true friend because I spent so much time with him on the circuit back in the 90s, and I only wish him the best. But so what we have to understand is that now that we have basically gone in and just completely toppled over the regimes or the governments of all these different Arab countries, primarily because of the wishes of the World Banks wanting to come in and seize their assets and resources and subject them all to slavery like they've done to us with the Rothschild banking cartel with the Federal Reserve Act of 1913, now we're starting to see the whole thing come apart in the Middle East. And now we've got this hotbed going on, which Albert Pike, the Confederate war general, said was going to be used to foment the Third World War, in which the Jews and the Arabs and the Christians all end up getting into this giant confrontation, which will bring in a one-world government and will be under the guise of Lucifer. And so that's what the whole thing boils back down to with all of this mess. And so if you don't want to believe that, you don't have to, but you just have to read the research and see it for yourself, because there's a reason they're doing all of this. None of this stuff happens by accident. Now let's go ahead. Arab League agrees to join joint Arab military force under Egypt's president. Arab leaders have agreed to form a joint military force that's been hosted by the president of Egypt. The meeting was dominated by the situation in Yemen, where Saudi Arabia leads a bombing campaign against the rebels. The question I have to ask everybody here is, where are the rebels? And where is ISIS and ISIL and Al-Qaeda? Where do they get all these weapons and all this advanced weaponry and these surface-to-air missiles? Just thought I'd throw that out there. Of course, you guys all know where that's coming from. The Arab leaders have decided to agree on the principle of a joint Arab military force. The final summit called for a coordination of efforts and steps to establish a united Arab force to intervene in countries such as Yemen. The Egyptian leader, which, by the way, we put in office, said the high-level panel will work out the structure and the mechanism of the future force. The work is expected to take 4 months. Early reports that the joint Arab military may be formed from roughly 40,000 elite troops. I wonder where they got all those guys from. And backed by war planes, okay, warships, where'd they get those, and light armor, where'd they get those? I guess the American taxpayers got to work double time now. There are, however, doubts that all 22 members of the Arab League would significantly contribute to it. The formation of the force could take months. And the country that was devastated, let me read the whole article. In communication signed in the Egyptian resort city, the Arab countries also called on the West to form a new, more comprehensive response to militancy. Now, why are they calling on us to do that? of course, we put them in power. That's why, which is what we wanted them to do, so we could do that now, so they ask us to, which is thinly veiled reference to desire by some Arab nations to see a new Western military intervention by us in Libya. The nation, the country that was devastated after the civil war and NATO bombing, which helped to oust Muammar Gaddafi in 2011, became a hotbed for Islamic radicals, including the terrorist organization Islamic State. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. So this whole thing is just obfuscation, guys. We've done this. We have destabilized this. Both Colin Powell and General Schwarzkopf told me this would be the worst thing that we could possibly do, to go in and destabilize the Middle East, because these warring factions hated each other. The Sunnis hate the Saudis hate the Sunnis, hate the Shiites. They all hate each other over there. Some of them are super fundamentalist Islam, others are not, and they're all arguing over who's right about all of this stuff, and they just soon kill each other because they were warring tribal factions for years and years and years, and now they've got all this money and all of this weaponry and that we've given them, and now they're continuing to war, and they're trying to drag us into this mess because we're trying to go over there now and start World War III with these guys, which is kind of nuts as far as I'm concerned. If that's what they're going to do, oh well. So here's another article. What's really going on in Yemen? And it says, what the heck is this war all about? Confused about the war in Yemen. Here's what's really going on, according to this article. This is a Washington's blog. Yemen, previously called Aden, has one of the oldest civilizations of the Middle East, but it has been racked for violence for a long time. In the 1960s, pro-Arab national factions collapsed with the British, who wanted Yemen to become a Western-controlled natural resource hub, and it ended going into fighting. Yemen's first president was in power from 1990 to 2012, the U.S. reported Saleh, but Saleh was a double dealer. And it goes on to say that all of this stuff is being used to bring in power and to take all of this stuff over, and basically it says, bottom line, there are no sanctions in this conflict. Many are calling this a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran, but it's not. Initially, Saudi Arabia is directly bombing Yemen, but it's doing it through a proxy. Moreover, while Iran is defending the Houthis, some money that is really a power struggle between the two corrupt Saleh and Hadi, Iran is not very involved. And guys, forgive me for sketching through this stuff, but I've got a lot of news to cover. This stuff is so sketchy right now that nobody even really understands what's going on over there. But all of it is to destabilize this Middle East even further. Iran deal reached in Switzerland. This is interesting with John Kerry. The news agency France Press reports from Lausanne, Switzerland, that Iran and the five U.S. Security Council members, including Germany, have reached provisional agreement on the terms of a nuclear deal. And this nuclear deal is saying they're going to allow them to keep about one-third of their centrifuges and their abilities as far as producing nuclear war and producing nuclear bombs. Now, some people are also saying that we know now that Saudi Arabia is emitting nuclear technology and capability. Until a couple of weeks ago, you were completely a conspiracy theorist if you said Israel had nuclear weapons, which is one of the worst-kept secrets on the planet. And finally they came out and said last week they've got nuclear weapons, which, I mean, surprise, surprise. Now Saudi's saying they've got nuclear capability. Iran's saying they've already got nuclear capability. So we've got a hotbed that's brewing over there, and probably the only reason we haven't gone into Iran yet is because they probably do have nuclear capability. Now, let's continue on these news stories. There's so many of them here. Australia is now start taxing bank account deposits. This is interesting. A zero hedge, according to Australia's ABC News, another Rothschild-owned news agency, the federal government looks set to induce a tax on bank deposits in the May budget. Ironically, the idea of a bank deposit tax was raised by Labor in 2013 and was criticized by Tony Abbott at that time. Much has changed in 2 years, and as the ABC report says, Assistant Treasurer John Frydenberg has indicated an announcement on the new tax could be made before the budget. Now, you know, taxing savings accounts, I mean, I thought we already paid taxes on the money that we put in the savings accounts, and it'll be coming to the United States too. As the governments go more and more broke, they have to find more and more ingenious ways to raise money. Now, what the United States is now doing, they're putting bounties on the heads of hackers. And what I find fascinating about this, they're saying that this one hacker who is in Russia, who's been running around doing all this hacking, that now they've offered millions of dollars on his head for somebody to find him. It says the DOJ has employed an old age technique. They're hoping to entice someone to turn into 31-year-old U.S. authorities. They've placed on a hefty bounty. The U.S. government is offering $3 million to anyone with information that leads to the apprehension of the Russian Botichich pitcher, and it's been plastered on the FBI posters all over the world. Now, you know what's interesting to me, and I find this fascinating, because I know, man, I got to be careful. I have a person who's an inside source who was with the Army and the Intel Department, and this lady was one of the hackers that went into the Iranian nuclear facility stuff years and years ago, and she's a full-bird colonel, and she's retired now. And she told me that, you know, that they constantly are doing this as far as going into these different areas in these other countries and doing all of this stuff as far as hacking in everybody's stuff. Which I find fascinating is when they start hacking into our stuff and we're hacking into their stuff, we start throwing bounties on them because they want to make sure that they get their hackers aren't covered. They want to make sure that their hackers, our hackers, are left alone and they can't hack us. Okay, so there you go. That's how that all works out. All right, let's see. We got a bunch more this here. Let's see. I'm going through this thing here. I'm reading through a bunch of stories here that we've already covered. Okay. The federal judge has ruled, the New American said, a judge has found that police officers who took over Mitchell's home were not soldiers, and the Third Amendment was written to protect individuals from military intrusion into a private home. While Gordon may have been correct in this ruling, the judge, his language is so broad that it may actually set a dangerous precedent, as Samin explained in the Washington Post. The reasoning is very plausible and quite possibly correct, but many too readily conclude that municipal police force can never be considered soldiers for the views of the amendment. Now, here's another story from Veterans News. It says, did the United States nerve gas poison our own troops in the Gulf War? This is from Ben Swan. More than 200,000 of the 700,000 U.S. troops sent to Kuwait and Iraq during the Gulf War were hit by nerve gas. Now, I don't know how he's going to substantiate that. He said it's a fact that the Department of Defense continues to deny and cover up. But the effects of the nerve gas are undeniable. Newsweek reports the troops who were nearest the nerve gas are suffering at rates which seemingly can't be chalked up to randomness. A clear pattern is emerging. Medical experts are recording cancer rates 2 and 3 times above average for the exposed troop population. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. Now, they're pushing this whole nerve gas thing on what happened in Iraq and what happened in the Gulf War. But, you know, we've got to stop here. I know Joyce has gone into detail on what happened to her with all of these different types of immunizations they received. These men and these women that fought in this war, they were injected with who knows what. Remember, Schwarzkopf died a few years ago with Alzheimer's disease. And, I mean, he was in his 70s. I mean, he wasn't old. And the sad part about this is that when you start injecting all of this aluminum and all these adjuncts, right now a Canadian, I'm going to talk about this in just a second, a Canadian researcher has been basically muzzled by the Canadian government because he's linked aluminum that's being used as an adjuvant in immunizations to causing all more problems with autism and senile dementia than mercury ever did. Now, sadly about this is that we have to understand that this Gulf War, there were a lot of things that happened over there. Number one, I got to digress for just a second. These diet sodas were stored in these containers that were basically heated up to 150 degrees in the sun. Diet sodas in liquid are very unstable with the aspartame that's in them. It tells you they need to be stored around 80 degrees. Because over 80, 85, 90 degrees, the aspartame becomes unstable and it breaks down into its constituent parts. It's made out of phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and methanol, which is paint thinner. When you start drinking huge amounts of diet sodas, which these troops did, that have been heated like this, then rechilled, it doesn't go back together again. So they're drinking 10% of that molecular structure of the aspartame molecule in that soda is methanol. So they're drinking paint thinner. Methanol has been linked to all kinds of neurological defects and neurological problems. When you combine that with all of the adjuvants that were used and all the immunizations these guys were giving, sure, there may be some nerve gas problems and toxicity here, but I wouldn't look that far. I think we're reading too much into this. I think the main problem associated with these Gulf War veterans was the use of the adjuvants in the vaccines and all of the aspartame and the diet soda they drank that had been stored at high temperatures, which had broken down into the methanol or the paint thinner. That's what I think a lot of the Gulf War sickness is from. Now, there could be some nerve gas involvement. I'm not denying that, or some other types of immunological agents that were being used. But the point is, we've got to take an entire look at the entire spectrum of what happened in the Gulf War and all of the different aspects of what happened. We can't just say, hey, it was nerve gas. And then you got to look at all the depleted uranium shells that were being used and being scattered all over Iraq. I mean, this is some nasty stuff with all the radiation that these things put out. Okay, here's another interesting article. Centelli is stunned as Janet Yellen admits Cash is not a store of value. Zero Hedge intended a warning or unintended slip. After Alan Greenspan's confessional admission that gold is a currency, it is still by all evidence a premier currency. No fiat currency, including the dollar, can match it. We found it remarkable during a question and answer after her speech today that Janet Yellen, when asked about negative rates, admitted that cash is not a very convenient store of value. I highly recommend that if you guys are listening and you have extra cash, if you stored a little food, some guns and ammunition or whatever, that you put some money into some gold and silver because the prices are still really low and they're not going to stay low. The cash is not a very convenient store of value is what Yellen just said, seemingly hinting at Bernanke's helicopter that there was no deflation in the U.S. ever. Rick Santelli then sums it all up perfectly. He says, deflation is clearly the boogeyman, and the only thing that will save the middle class. What's interesting about the deflation is that I don't think that's going to happen because they're going to continue to print the money. You can't have deflation with massive amounts of fiat currency going into circulation. And the only reason gold and silver has been staying down is because of the naked shorts that are being done, according to Paul Craig Roberts, and I believe he's exactly right on that.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
By now you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Welcome back to the Power Hour for this Monday. We've got a great show for you. Just a couple of minutes, we've got Doc Marquis coming up. I want you guys to stay tuned for him. He's going to be a phenomenal interview. And after that, the third hour, we're going to have Corbett and Corbett. James Corbett, where he's one of the top researchers in the world and has this report that's released out of Japan on an ongoing basis. But let's go back to the news. I've got a couple of minutes left, then we'll be going to our first guest. This is really interesting. This is from the Energy and the Environment research article that was sent to me. Electric cars are now doing more good than more harm than good, the professor warned. This is from Zero Hedge. An electric car does not make you green. You're better off filling up at the pump if you live in Canada, according to a new study by Professor Chris Kennedy. Even if every driver in Canada made the switch from gas to electric, the total emissions might not go down. Since in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Nova Scotia, electric cars generate more carbon pollution over their lifetimes than gas-powered cars. I have a friend of mine. His name is Frank. He's a preacher out of Texas, and I talked to him this weekend. He has a Prius, and he said that around town it gets really good fuel miles because it's running electric. He said that once you get it over 50 miles an hour on the highway, it only gets like 26, 27 miles per gallon, and it simply doesn't do what they say it will on the highway. If you go over like 50, 60 miles an hour because it starts pulling too much electricity and it can't produce enough, so instead the engine turns on and starts running. This is what I've seen with all of these electric cars. Now, there's one thing I want to share with you real quick. In Germany, when you go over to Germany and you rent these rental cars, and you get these cars like these little 5-series BMWs with these diesel engines that run 160, 170 miles an hour, they get 50 miles per gallon on a tank of, on a gallon of diesel. I mean, that's crazy fuel mileage for running these high speeds, but we have the technology to bring to the United States for these very, very highly efficient cars. They won't allow the technology to come into the United States, which is really kind of sad. I know the little smart car, the little German smart cars, some of them get 70, 80 miles per gallon in Germany, but in the United States they get like 30. So it doesn't make any sense why they're doing this. Here's another very interesting article. Blatant fraud discredits 43 major scientific studies. Some scientific researchers are rigging the peer review process to speed up publication and defraud the scientific community. This week, BioMed Central officially retracted 43 papers published in its family of nearly 300 journals covering topics from prostate cancer diagnosis to repairing broken ankles. Here's why this happens. It's because of greed, because of fraud, because of drug release, et cetera. And what these folks do is over 50% of the studies or the drugs that are being used as an approval from these studies have their warning labels changed or are pulled back off the market within 5 years. But again, what they do is when they pull the product back off the market, they've sold billions and billions and billions of dollars of it. If they sell $100 billion worth of these products that are unbelievably bad and they've got to pay $2 or $3 billion in fines, they consider that as part of the marketing effort of doing this. So they really don't care about you. Remember, it's the fiduciary responsibility of the drug company to sell as many drugs as it possibly can. That's why it does everything it can to promote drugs any way it possibly can, because it's trying to get everybody to use as many drugs as it possibly can to make the use of drugs more and more commonplace so they can increase the profits of the corporations. Always remember, they don't see you as a human being. They see you as just as a profit center, as an animal. An interesting article by Ty Bollinger hosting the Truth About Cancer series. Author, speaker, and natural activist Ty Bollinger will host a new documentary series aimed at presenting a natural alternative to traditional cancer treatment. The free 11-part series begins on March the 30th. It's called The Truth About Cancer, and it features dozens of doctors and other holistic treatment specialists and experts who are coming together to present their information online. They will discuss how cancer victims can beat and have beaten their deadly disease without damaging chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. I'm looking forward to watching that. Another article, this is the glut of Texas. Pro-vaccination bills are threatening immune vaccination exemptions. This is from Breitbart. Pro-vaccination legislative fever is sweeping the nation faster than the recent measles and whooping cough outbreaks combined. Texas is no exception. A glut of proposed mandatory inoculation bills are moving through the 84th legislative session. These are bills that would threaten existing vaccine exemptions. Guys, we need to pay very, very careful attention to this, because if they can force us with no exemptions to have to force our children to have vaccines, they can do the same thing to you. They can come to your home, ask you for your vaccine card, and then force you to have vaccines. So we'll come right back. We're going to have Doc Marquis on. We're looking forward to having him on. I've been looking forward to this interview. You guys stay tuned. It's going to be an exciting next 2 hours.